Oh, we really do need to be praying for them, because I tell you what, this garbage that's going around, it's hard to get rid of. And I mean, people are, for weeks, are coughing and carrying on and just feel yucky. So we need to pray for them. Their whole family's been getting it. And so we just need to really lift them up in our prayer. I want to talk to us this morning about walking in power. How many of you walk in power? I don't know about you, but whenever I want to cut a tree down, what do? I go get me a power saw. I get me a chainsaw. I want to cut that thing down. I want power to do it. I go out my boat. I want to cut the switch on to that boat motor, and I want it to start up because I want power to get through those waves. I want to get there. When I go in my room, my house, I want to cut on the light switch, and I want the power to come on so that I can see and that I can hear the television or the radio or whatever. I want power. We all need power in our life. Now, the way that we get our power in our personal life, in our immediate physical life, is not by just turning a switch on or turning a key or pulling a cord. The first thing we've got to do to get power in our life is go to the place of the power. And the place of the power that we need in our life this morning is the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the power that we need to have today. He's the one that can help us to endure all the heartaches, all the troubles, all the sorrow, and yes, even all the joys that we have coming to us every day in life. At the end of the day, it's nothing better than to be able to sit down in a chair, maybe take your Bible out or just sit there quietly and just meditate and pray for a few minutes and have the satisfaction of knowing that you have gone through the day and that you've overcome all the hardships that were in front of you. You've overcome all the that Satan could throw at you. You've had less trials or you've overcome the trials that you've had, and you can look up towards heaven and you can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've taken me through all this. Thank you to you, Lord, that I've been able to live victoriously, Father, for another day. Our power, our assurance, our confidence in life comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. If you're looking to something else for your confidence, if you're looking for someone else to give you strength, and I want to tell you now, you're going to fail. You're going to wind up miserable. You're going to wind up disappointed. You might even wind up angry. And so many times what I see is I find these people that experience that or go through life that way, they wind up withdrawing. They wind up turning away from everyone. They wind up becoming bitter and angry and very selfish instead of having a life of rejoicing, a life of peace, a life of joy. If you want to live in failure, live under your own power. If you want to be miserable, live under your own power. You've got a right to. You have the freedom to. God gives you that freedom. Go ahead and do it. Be your own person. Do your own thing, and I promise you, you will be miserable. I promise you, you will not be victorious. I promise you that you will become angry and that you will be very frustrated in life. You only can get through the day. You can only get through life through the power of Jesus Christ. The Israelites learned this very quickly. In chapter 58, they were angry at God. Why aren't you listening to our prayers? Why aren't you paying attention, Lord, to our fasting? Why aren't you honoring our worship to you, Lord? Why? And the Lord says, you want to know why? Because you're not worshiping me. You want to know why? Because you're not honoring me. You want to know why? Because you're doing your own thing. You're living in your own glory. You're trying to live in your own power. You're trying to go your own way. And then you expect me to hear you. I'm not your go-to daddy, he says. I'm not the one that you can look at and come to and get what you want and then go do what you want. We don't live the way. I don't work that way, he says. He says, if you want to continue living on your own power, I'll let you. And you will continue to fail. Continue to fail. Now, I think I have learned enough from most of you over the past 2 years that you don't want to live in failure. I think I know from most of you, all of you that I know, that you want to live in victory and you're enjoying the victory of the Lord in your life. And I want you to know this morning that we can continue to grow in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can continue to walk in the greatest power that we can. We don't have to worry about what's going on in the world today. We don't have to worry about what's taking place down the street or around the corner. God will take care of it. He'll take care of it. How many of you have ever gotten up in the morning and when you've gotten up in the morning, you went to work or you went about your day and all of a sudden a problem came up and you said, oh Lord, and it just worried you, it worried you, it worried you, you couldn't solve it, you couldn't find a resolution. I don't know what the problem was. Maybe it was with your boss and he was pretty teed off at you. Maybe it was a coworker that was giving you a hard time, harassing you. Maybe it was a bill collector that, man, you want to pay it, but you just don't have the money to pay it. Or maybe you're struggling with something God wants you to do and you really don't want to do it. And then as you started finally praying, and as you finally started seeking the face of the Lord, and you got earnest with Him, and you really began to let Him talk to you, in other words, you sat still long enough so that He could get a word in edgewise, and he finally worked the problem through and your problem was resolved and it was done before you ever realized it. It was done and you didn't even... What problem? Oh yeah, I did have that problem, didn't I? But it was gone. It was completely taken care of. There was a man. He brought his son to the disciples. And he asked the disciples, he said, need you to heal my son. He's got a demon. And I want you to pray and get this demon out of my son. And the disciples, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And they couldn't do it. The demon was still there. The man stomped off and he went to Jesus and told on him. Oh, I'd like to have been there to hear that story. But he told on him. He said, I took them over to your men. I took them to your disciples, the people who say they're after you. They're following you. And they couldn't take this demon out. Oh, I love Jesus' reply. He said, how long am I going to have to put up with you guys? You ever had your boss say that to you? You ever had your wife say that, men? How long am I going to put up with you? Men, you ever said that about your wives? I'm sure you've never said that about your children. No. But Jesus said, how long am I going to have to put up with you? And then he took the demon out of the boy. He took him. He healed the boy. Jesus told the disciples, they said, look, it was your lack of faith. It was your lack of faith, your failure to pray, your failure to fast that caused you not to be able to take this demon out of this boy. You see, even as living face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the disciples still took him for granted. They took him for granted. They didn't understand that it wasn't an off and on relationship. You couldn't swear your allegiance to him one minute and the next minute go do your own thing. You were not and you are not going to cast out a demon in your own power. That's only, Jesus said, going to come through prayer and fasting. It's only going to come by you doing what you know you have to do to follow after me. Then there was the church in Antioch. The church in Antioch prayed and they fasted. And the Lord spoke to them and in the midst of their praying, he said, I want you to set apart Barnabas and Paul for me. I want you to send them out on their first missionary journey. So the church got together again. Did you hear what I said? The church got together again. And they began to fast and they began to pray. And as they came together fasting and praying, they then got up and they put their hands on Barnabas and Paul and they anointed them and gave them their blessing and gave their promise of support and they sent them out. And they won many, many people to the Lord. They ran into people that begged them not to leave them, but to stay there. A whole city, don't leave us. Stay here and preach. Tell us more about this man, Jesus. We want to know about him. We want to know who he is. We want to know his life. We want him in our life. And the churches were planted. Churches were started. Gentiles began to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And they all walked in the power of the Lord. Can you imagine that today? Can you imagine walking in the power of the Lord? All we need to do right now is to know that we know. Know that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Don't have a doubt about it. Oh, if you questioned it this morning, I say get somewhere private or fall on your knees with somebody you know is a strong believer and you settle that issue right now. You get it right that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, not just as a friend, not just as someone you know you need to have in your life, but you know Him personally as your Savior and that you trust Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your might. And then you fall on your knees and you seek him in fasting and in praying. And get up and walk in power as you walk in obedience. Now I want to say something here. I know there's a lot of people sick here. A lot of people sick. I myself am sick. I have diabetes. And one of the first things I hear is I can't fast. I want to tell you something. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Do you do it a little differently? Yes. But can you do it? Yes, you can. You can't sit here or stand here and tell me, no, I can't fast because I'm diabetic and I just can't do it. I know personally that you can. And you can do it safely. And that God will see you through it. God is never going to tell you there's something that you've got to do in your life or that he wants you to do in your life and then he's going to inhibit you for doing it. You will be able to do it. Oh, you may not be able to fast all day. You may not be able to fast 10 days, 5 days, 3 days, 2 days. But you can fast a meal. There's not a one of us in here that can't fast a meal. We can use fasting a meal, most of us. Just look at me and you can tell. Okay? All right, most of us can afford to lose one meal. We can do it. A cracker will take care of the drop or a scoop of peanut butter. But you can fast. In the name of the Lord. Now I want to tell you this morning, how can we walk in power? There's three things I want you to understand this morning about walking in the power of the Lord. First of all, walking in the power of the Lord, verses 3 through 7 says, requires that we have a right attitude. We've got to have a right attitude. The Israelites were too busy boasting about what they were doing. Look at me, I'm fasting. I'm an Israelite. I belong to the Lord. And I'm fasting and I'm praying and hear my prayers. And I'm just for the Lord. The Lord is here, you know, and I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'm fasting. They wanted everybody to know they were fasting. And that they were trying to follow him. Their time of fasting wasn't any different than any other day of the week. Matter of fact, they continued getting fights with each other. And I know none of you fight with your wife or fight with your husband or fight with your children or fight with your neighbor. You wouldn't dare do that. But these guys were fighting still with each other, the scripture says. They were still bickering back in two with one another. Even though they said they set aside that time for the Lord. In other words, the Lord says, you're just going through the motions. He says, what you're doing really isn't doing anything for me. You haven't impressed me at all. No impression at all. I don't even know what you think you're doing. You can't walk with an attitude and have the right mindset to please God. You can't do it. And you know the attitude I'm talking about. You've seen it. You've all seen it. And I'm not even going to take the time to go into that attitude because we know it so well, even though we want to pretend that we've never done it. We have. And we see it every day. He isn't interested in our agenda. You get up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to the church and I'm going to clean the grill. I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to pray. I think I'm going to call two or three people that haven't been here at church for a while and I'm going to invite them to come to church. And he said, oh, wow. Then he comes to church on Sunday morning and says, boy, I spent all day cleaning the grill and I invited people to church. And man, isn't it exciting what God's doing? No. You haven't let God do anything yet. Can't let God do anything yet. As my wife tells me sometimes, I'm too busy breaking my arm, patting myself on the back. She says I don't allow anybody time enough to pat me on the back because I'm busy doing it myself. And I have to agree to her with her a lot of times. That's what I'm doing. And it usually gets me in trouble. You know. We all have a conscience. We have a conscience and we have a spouse. Okay? You have a conscience, you have a spouse. Now the question is, which one are you listening to? Well, I've learned I better listen to both. Better listen to both of them. You know? Pride does not impress God. Pride really doesn't impress anybody. Pride just causes people to turn their back on you. Walking with power. Have a humble spirit. Walking in power. Have a prayerful nature. Walking in power. Seek the presence of the Lord. Walking in power means walking with him and trying to follow his footsteps every step of the way with a right attitude. The right attitude. Secondly, not only do you want to have a right attitude to walk in power, but you want to have and you will have an objective. When you're walking in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he plants a plan in your life. He plants the objective for your life, and it's there. It's automatically ready for you. There's no room for you to go around and living life as usual anymore. When Jesus Christ comes into your life has changed. Your life is different than any life you've ever lived before. You should be able to go anywhere that you go and someone look at you and say, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that guy. What is it? I remember when I first went into ministry. Okay, Mark, here goes a rabbit. I went into ministry and we were getting ready to move to our first pastorate. And we walked into the auto parts store and I think we bought some floor mats. Matter of fact, we did. We bought some floor mats. We just got a new van. We didn't know it was going to turn into a church van. But God, you know, God has a plan. It turned into a church van. And God used that church van for 13 years. You wouldn't believe it. And but anyway, we bought some floor mats. We were in there and we were checking out. The girl looked at me. She says, you're a preacher. I just looked at my wife. I didn't know what I'd said or what I'd done. She said, you're a preacher. And I stuttered and stammered. I said, yes, I am. And then one day we were flying somewhere. I can't remember where we were flying to. My wife and I were in the plane flying, and at that time they were still called stewardesses. That tells you how old it was. And she comes up and was walking by, and she stops and she turns around and she said, you're a Christian, aren't you? Now, I wished I could say that every time I turn around, my life is that way, because it's not. There's sometimes I say some things and I do some things that are downright dumb and does not give God the glory. But those two things have always stood out in my life. And whenever I find myself doing dumb things or saying dumb things or thinking dumb things, do you know those things come to my mind? I think about those things. My life has a new purpose. My life had a new direction. My life had new meaning. When you reach out to God in His power and prayer and fasting and following in His footsteps, He will give you a plan. He will give you a purpose in life. I hear believers say all the time, I don't know what God has planned for me. I don't know what God wants me to do in my life. I just don't know. I can't figure out. I can't find what God. I beg and I cry and I plead and I read the Bible and I can't figure out what it is that He wants me to do in my life. And the first question that you can ask them is, do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? The second question that you can ask them is, do they read the Bible? Because when you read the Bible, God tells you what His purpose and His plan is for you. Here's the hang up. We get hung up on our job. Too many of us become identified. I'm a policeman. I'm a sailor. I'm an airman. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a nurse. That becomes our identity. You want me to tell you something? That is not your identity. Amen. That is not who you are. God has given you your job. What an exclamation. God has given you your ability, and He has given you a talent so that you can have the means to supply yourself and your family with your needs and carry on His ministry. His ministry is your purpose in life. His ministry is who you are. What did He tell the Israelites? Listen to what He said in Isaiah here. He says, first of all, set yourself free and get busy. Set free the chains of injustice. Set free the oppressed. Share food with the hungry. Give the poor shelter. Clothe the naked. And then he says, your light will shine. Now look at Matthew chapter 28. And what does Matthew 28 say? Jesus says in Matthew 28, all power and authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And guess what? I give it to you. Why? So that you can go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that I have taught you. That's your purpose in life. That's who we are in life. Now, in case you have another question, I want you to look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. There Jesus says again, he says, you have been given the power. You've received the power because my Holy Spirit is living in you. You have my Spirit in you. My Spirit, which is the earnest money, the down payment for your life, so that when I come again, I will take you to be with me. But right now, my Spirit lives in you, and it is the power that he's going to give you that you're to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the parts of the world, and you're to share the gospel. Beat it. Now tell me what your intended purpose in life is. Tell me who you are. Tell me what we're supposed to be doing. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine what this church would be like if all of us did that? Brent wouldn't have room to preach up here. Sarah, we have to compact his head. What a joy it would be. What a joy it would be. Oh, maybe God needs to work in your life so that you can overcome an addiction. I don't know what the addiction is. There's so many things today that we are addicted to. Maybe God needs to work in your life and set you free from a financial bondage. Maybe God needs to take control of your life so that he can take control of some of the thoughts that are going on in your mind. Maybe some of you are fighting a demonic force that's taking place in you. Maybe you need God's power in your life so that you can sacrifice like you need to sacrifice so that you can serve him and others. Maybe you need to fast and pray so that God can give you his leadership with the decision that you need to make, that you'll make the decision that he wants you to make. To pray and fast is not the Christian thing to do. It's not the thing just for us to do without reason or without purpose, are for ulterior motives. To pray and fast is what God tells us to do. Not I want you to, not I wish you would, not I hope you will. Fast and pray so that we can be filled with the mighty power of his life working in us. Not only do we have to have a right attitude, not only do we have a new objective in our life, but now to walk in power with God means that he's going to bring results in our life. And if you look at verses 11 through 14, you'll see those results that he has for us. If you come to him in seriousness, if you come to him promising, if you come to him declaring your love for him, your service to him, your allegiance to him, your loyalty to him, your life to him, then God says, I'll hear your prayers. I'll hear your prayers. I'll heal your home. I'll heal your family. I'll heal your life. I'll make you whole again. And you'll grow even closer to me. You'll grow even more like me. He says he will guide you continually. He will satisfy you in your drought. He will make your bones fat, he told the Israelites, and he would water your garden. Can you think for just a minute what that would mean for us? Can you think? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are those things? It's all those things that you and I need. It's all of those things that he promises us so that we can have a full and abundant and satisfying and victorious life. Folks, don't ever get sucked in to the drama that we are living for victory. God has called us into victory right now, and we're moving towards victory. We're moving towards that ultimate victory. Don't ever forget that. You live in victory now. Don't even think that you live in defeat, because you don't. You don't. If you're living in defeat, it's because you've chosen to, not because God has given it to you. Fasting is more than giving up food. Fasting is about having a heart of repentance. Fasting is about living in obedience. Fasting is about humility before God. Fasting is having that humble spirit. You don't have to. You don't have to fast. You don't have to pray. You don't have to read the Word of God. No, you don't have to. But if you don't, I promise you, you're going to live a life of depression, a life of frustration, a life that is powerless. You're not going to be living in victory. You're going to be living in defeat. Jesus said, fast and pray. He expects us to seek his face. Oh, yeah, he knows what we need. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in our mind. But he says, talk to me. Talk to me. I'll guarantee you right now, just about every one of you know what's on your husband's and wife's mind to some extent. Just about every one of you know, even if your children aren't at home and they're away, you know pretty much what's going on in their life and what's playing on their heart and mind. You know, Jesus does too. He knows, we're his children. We're his family. He knows. But you know what? It's nothing more gratifying than for your child to come up to you and say, Daddy, Mama, I need to ask you something. I need to tell you something. Even when you know it's tearing their heart up, even when you know it's eating them up, and their satisfaction that they can share and feel by knowing that Mama and Daddy cares. They heard me. I said it. And they embrace. You see, that's what the Lord does. You say it and he embraces you. He said, I hear you. Children of Israel, I hear you. Come to me and seek my face. Don't seek what you can get out of me. Don't live under your own power. Seek my power. He wants us to live in power. He calls us to power. He calls us to act upon his power. Where are you this morning? Where are you? Who are you? Whose are you? This morning, we all have a choice to make. You know why we have a choice to make? Because we've heard the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, you have a choice to make. And that choice is either live in obedience to his Word or deny his Word. This morning I pray that you'll embrace his Word. That you'll live in his joy. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, there's going to be people in the back to meet you, to talk with you, to pray with you. If need be, they'll take you to the prayer room, spend time with you. I'll be here. But we want you to make the decision today that you want to have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And when others look at you, they see Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for your great word. Lord, I pray that our ears heard. And I pray, Father, that we'll purpose in our heart and our mind that everything we've heard in Sunday school today, everything that we've heard in our quiet time with you today, everything that's been said in your message today, Lord, that quicken our spirits and cause us to live in a deeper relationship with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.